It's the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air, your weekly local sports podcast. And now, here's your hosts, Greg Revels and Tony Stowers.
And we're back with episode 23 of the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air. That would be season 2, episode 23, but 23 nonetheless. And 23, the GOAT is 23.
Yes.
We know that.
No matter who you think the GOAT is.
Yeah, that's right, pretty much.
But I think it's pretty unanimous in this room.
Yeah, it is. It's not Larry Bird. Sorry, Cody. We'll talk about him next week.
Well, I haven't
invited, in 11 weeks.
I have invited Cody to sit in with us on episode 33.
Okay.
There you go.
So he could voice his opinion.
Okay. Hey, that sounds
we'll
good.
We'll probably all agree with
I'll
him
take
on episode
copious
33,
notes.
Though.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, hey, I'm going to tell you, I like to watch Larry Bird play, but...
But he didn't wear number 23.
No, he did not wear number 23. That's who we're talking about, the most famous one. Obviously, Michael Jordan.
Yes.
When you look at the rest of these guys, nah. I mean, you know, my favorite one out of all those, Louis Tiant.
Oh, Louis Tiant.
Yeah.
Man, I'll tell you what. He was a guy that, of course, he was pitching for the Red Sox when I was a kid and had this weird motion and he was tough to hit in his prime. I'm not sure if he's in the Baseball Hall of Fame or not, but if he's not, he ought to be.
Yeah, little mustache.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. He looked like John Crook, looked like he was in superior athletic shape.
That's right. Yeah. It looked like Jeff Tuttle pitching. What it looked like. Except he had an arm.
He threw a little harder than me.
Yeah. You don't even remember him, do you, Tuttle?
Yeah, I do remember
him. Oh, you remember Louis Tiant?
Okay.
I believe he was with the Giants, though, when I can remember him.
Maybe. His heyday was with the Red Sox.
Yeah.
Ryan Sandberg, another one on the list.
Sandberg. Yeah. You know, Frank Gore doesn't get enough love because he really never played for anybody, you know, a good team. It didn't, you know, he played for several different teams. But Frank Gore, he's way up on the all-time rushing list, way up there.
Yeah. Yeah, he is.
Devin Hester may be the best return man of all time.
David Justice on this list. You know what I think about when I think of David Justice?
Moneyball.
he was married to Halle Berry.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. That was his most biggest accomplishment.
His crowning accomplishment.
That's right. That's right. Will Clark, what about him? Pretty good first baseman.
Mississippi State Bulldog.
Yeah. Like to.
Kind of a gritty guy.
Yeah, a roid guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. He got knocked down a peg or two for that, right?
He did.
Yeah, but not, hey, now it's okay, right? So, hey, you know, it's kind of like paying players. You used to have to hide it. Now you just do it out in the open. So,
I always try to come up with a Razorback. Can you think of one?
23? No.
Ken Biley.
Ken Biley.
On that national championship
you're right.
team, number 23.
You're right. Yeah, I did not think of that.
But I think that's the only one I can really think of.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but he was 23, and that's a good one. Anyway, we got, you know, the weather kind of shut us down a little bit towards the end of last week, but we still got some basketball to talk about today if y'all are ready to go. Let's start out with the Leopards and Lady Leopards today. Leopards, they played the Waldron Bulldogs last Tuesday, and Leopards now 7-8, and they beat Waldron 66-62. And I'm going to tell you this, Jeff, and Tony will back me up. We don't know how. We do know how, but we're not going to say it, are we, Tony? Huh? Right? Or you can say it if you want to. I'm not.
Can I maybe get it after the show?
Yeah. I'm going to tell you that Waldron had more size than any team we've seen all year.
Well, and it is the second game in the last couple of weeks that we saw that I feel a coach mishandled his size that could have give us a lot harder time than they did. But, man, once they decided to go inside.
We didn't stop them.
We had no answer, but they were too far down when they decided to do that.
That's right. And they almost came back. But, yep. Anyway, it was a great game to watch.
It was.
Really good
game. Our kids played hard.
Yeah, Sam Graham. I mean, he's just, you know, I don't know if dominating is the right word, but kind of, it kind of is the right word, isn't it? I mean,
steady domination.
Yeah.
I mean, Sam, you know, it's not lightning in the bottle, but it's just consistency.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would like to know how many rebounds a game Sam is averaging this year, because I'm telling you what, he is hitting the boards big time in a way that he's not the last couple of years. So,
well, you give me just a minute, I can tell you that. But we're going to talk while I'm looking. We're going to talk about the Lady Leopards and the Lady Leopards. Waldron should have stopped at the end of the first quarter. I'm sorry, but right.
Well, the clock ran the whole second half.
Yeah, the clock ran the whole second half. I mean, Jessie Lyle, she was in fuego, to use an old Sports Center term.
And you say that quite often about her, too.
Yeah, well, her, Shaylin won. You know, that thing about it is, if there's ever a game where they're both really, really on, I don't know what's going to happen. The ball may blow up. Yeah. But I think that, you know, I mean, 22 points in the first half. She was unstoppable inside, outside, still in the ball, doing everything, you know. And I think the score at halftime was 59-11.
It was.
It was 34-2 at the big end of the quarter.
And, you know, and we kept saying this during the broadcast. Walden, they were 9-6. They were not a bad basketball team.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have an answer last Tuesday night. The it's a big week for Leopard Athletics as we host Camden Fairview on Tuesday, and their boys are ranked 10th in 4A in some of the polls that you see on Facebook. Their girls, I believe, are ranked 6th or 7th, something like that.
It depends on. There's so many polls out that you know, you see one, they're all different, but what I basically look at is the ones I'm looking at is 5 out of 6 teams in 7-4A are in the top 10.
Yes. Yes.
So where they're at 8th, 7th, you know, I don't know exactly.
You see one poll, and if me or you don't like where our team's ranked, we start another one.
Yeah. Oh, well, apparently that's what happens.
I mean,
it's weird.
And so Fairview, they only have one common opponent with the Leopards so far. Now, we're fixing to have a lot of common opponents, but it's Sheridan, and the deficit was about the same as we beat Sheridan.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
we're expecting a real good game Tuesday night.
Yeah.
Then Wednesday, we travel to Nashville. And that, again, is going to be our DeQueen Motorsports game of the week, as it didn't get to go off last week. And should be all that in a bag of chips.
Well, here's the deal is, I'm going to tell you, I think Coach Brett Burgess made the decision to come to DeQueen on April 30th last year. And this has been where both teams have pointed to since that time. They can say it's not, but it is.
Right.
I mean, I think fans too. Don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know,
it's,
so,
and it's probably the first of three, maybe four meetings.
So. Yeah. And you know, the thing about it is, Scrapperette's got a great basketball team. They got a great coach. They're going to give us all we want. I think we're in a better position than we have been in the last few years.
Yeah.
So, and I think it's going to be a really good game. That's what we're looking for.
And I don't know how many three-game weeks you could say that the Arkadelphia Lady Badgers are coming to town Friday, and that may be the of the three teams we play, that may be the easiest, and they're in the top 10 and 4.
That's right.
It's a tough week for the Lady Leopards.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those weeks, and again, it's one of these things that people who are undefeated don't like to talk about. And I say we because I love the Leopards, but if you go 2-1 this week, I mean, you couldn't say that's a bad week with the competition this week. Of course, you want to go 3-0.
Sure,
of course.
Sure you do. But I think depending on who we beat, I'd take 1-2.
But what do you mean by that, Greg?
That's all I'm going to say about it.
Interpret it however you want.
Yeah, that's right. I'm really kidding. I'm really kidding about that. You know, here's the deal is, and it doesn't matter. We can talk about the Lady Leopards. We can talk about Camden Fairview. We can talk about Arkadelphia. We can talk about Magnolia. We can talk about the Nashville Scrapperettes. Every game they play from now on is going to be a difficult game.
Yeah.
Because the teams are just so good. I mean, you know, and when you got five out of six teams ranked in the top 10 in the state, you've got a good conference. And it's just not going to be, and no game is going to be a gimme game. It's not going to be easy. You know, it's just going to be, it's going to be work. And we'll, and we'll see how they come out. It's going to be fun seeing. That's, well, that's what's fun.
All the teams that are expecting to do something in the postseason, everything before Christmas leads up to what you're doing from here on out.
Right? Yeah, that's exactly right. So, you know, the like
find out how many rebounds Graham's got.
Yeah, he's averaging 13.
13 rebounds
yeah,
he, a game.
Yeah, which he's doing really great.
He is.
So Wednesday at Nashville is going to be the Queen Motorsports Game of the Week, and we appreciate the Queen Motorsports for sponsoring that Game of the Week. Every week, we got to figure out who the Shelter Insurance Woods Agency Leopard Player of the Week is. Tony, you got any thoughts on that?
Well, I think Jesse Law or Sam Graham.
Okay. Well, I mean, you know, I'll let you pick.
Let's go with Sam this week. That was a big win for the boys. And,
it was.
So let's go with Sam Graham as our Shelter Insurance Woods Agency Leopard Player of the Week.
Okay, there you go. Sam Graham's going to be our Shelter Insurance Woods Agency Leopard Player of the Week, and we'll move on.
Let's take a second to talk about one of our oldest sponsors from the very beginning, DeQueen Animal Hospital at 1690 Highway 70 West right here in DeQueen, and Ashdown Veterinary Clinic at 139 Southern Drive in Ashdown. Dr. Martin, obviously, really, really great guy. Saw him last week, and he's just, you know, really, really cool guy, and a guy that makes maybe sometimes the tough moments a little bit better. You know, like we had to go through something, my sister's dog, and having him there was like, it was great. You know, he just, I don't know, something about him makes you feel a little bit better, you know, and he's got the right words to say at the right time. And clearly he's had to do it a lot, and he was still super emotional, you know? So, that's like the mark, I think, of probably a good veterinarian who can, you know, do the task, but then also share it within the emotion with the other person. You know?
Yeah, and I think that's is the correct word, Tony. Is that empathy?
Empathy. Yes.
And you know, and that's, and they are very empathetic with the situation you're in, and can understand, and are willing to do the things that are necessary, but do it in such a way that makes you feel like they care about your animal as much as you do.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that that's a big plus. And you know, they just, from you know, large to small, they take care of animals all over Southwest Arkansas. They do a great job with everything they do. Their entire team of people at both Ashdown and DeQueen are first notch. Really friendly.
Yeah.
And when you walk in, you know, they just come in. They say, well, you know, I take Ollie in there. They say, here, Ollie, you know, come on with
they
me.
They know him.
They take him with, you know, they just take him, come take him over. And it's just a really great experience overall, both for the animal and the owner.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's most important about both the Queen Animal Hospital and Ashdown Veterinary Clinic and Dr. Martin and his staff.
There for you during the tough moments, but then also the routine, the checkups, just they get to know you and your dog and or your, any of your pets. You know, they know my cats and took them there. And, you know, just kind of amazed me with their speed and efficiency on spay and neutering and all that. Cats came home, barely even could tell something was different, you know? So they're working with some, I think, new stuff too, like new technology, new techniques and that. So you got to take your pets over there. If you're here in Southwest Arkansas, you are covered with the best veterinary services that you could ask for through DeQueen Animal Hospital and Ashdown Veterinary Clinic, a long sponsor of the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air, and we appreciate them so much. But let's keep it moving. Let's talk to Jim Cross.
Jim, good to hear from you. I hope it didn't snow you in too much. I know you were on the southern boundary of it. You may have got more ice than snow.
Yeah, we got more ice than snow, and I see you guys got a pretty good little deal of snow there. I enjoyed seeing the pictures.
Yeah, we still got it, but I hope you didn't lose electricity for too long.
About 2 days, but it was okay. Oh, it's all right.
Just 2 days, huh?
Yeah.
It's 2 days. Hey, yeah.
It's okay. I went through it 3 weeks one time. So,
worse than that in 2000.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, but I'm glad that it's back on and that everybody's okay, I hope, down that way.
Yeah.
Played a little basketball last Tuesday, last time you played, I'm assuming. What you got for us on that?
Well, played center point, and we knew going into the game that the girls were very good, one of the best teams in the conference, and they played like it and put it to us pretty well. And the boys also played close, but the boys at the end just weren't able to muster enough offense, and center point came away with a boys and a girls victory. But we play Bismarck tomorrow, and I think that'll be a big game to kind of see where we are in the conference. I think Bismarck and us are kind of battling for the middle of the pack in boys and girls, and so that's going to be a huge game for us. And then we go Friday to Camden Harmony Grove, and then next week we've got three games. We play Falk, a makeup game on Monday, and then a game on Tuesday and Friday. But I believe all three of those games next week are at home, so that'll be an advantage for us, an opportunity to pick up a few wins, hopefully.
Yeah, well, and if you got three games in a week, having them all at home is a big help to you.
Exactly.
Yeah, especially to the radio guy.
Yeah, that's for sure. That's for sure. But one game, I know that Center Point's got a really good girls basketball team, but just looking forward a little bit, I mean, when you get to Falk's pretty good too.
Yeah, Falk and Center Point, from my understanding, are the two best girls teams. And from what I've been told, they're kind of head and shoulders above everybody else. And then the rest of us are, you know, us and Bismarck, Camden Harmony Grove, you know, those Genoa, we're all kind of battling for that third and fourth spot, you know, to see who can, you know, get ready for the regional. So I'm not saying we can't beat them, but those two teams are pretty superior.
Yeah. Yep. Anything else about individually about the games last week?
Yeah, LaKenya Williams had her usual good game, and she's kind of been the ring leader for the girls team. She's averaging about 16 points a game, and she's had a couple 20 plus games, and she is fast as lightning. She can take the ball to the basket, and if she hits anything outside, that's when she has her really big games. And so we're hoping that LaKenya can have a big week this week. And there's no reason to think that she won't. And think about LaKenya, she plays great defense and handles the ball well. And she's a complete player and even a better person.
That is really cool.
Yeah, that is cool. And she we've seen her play, and she does an outstanding job. She's a great athlete and does it on both ends of the court. And that's what she does. So you got a Dom Tar Panther Player of the Week for us, Jim?
How about we'll go with LaKenya Williams. I think I can say that every week, but sure. she's very consistent. And even the thing about her that's kind of unique is she's a big scorer, obviously, but even if she has a bad scoring night or an off scoring night, she plays great defense. And so she's going to get you a couple of baskets off of steals, off of deflected passes, even when her outside jumper is not going. And I think that's kind of what separates her between everybody else. She's going to get her points one way or the other.
Yeah, I understand, you know, and I know what you mean when you talk about give it to her every week. It seems like as we get to where we're at in district now, with you know, the same names keep popping up every week, and that's to be expected.
Sure, and as far as the boys, a guy that doesn't get a lot of publicity is Amari Spencer. He's a sophomore. He's not going to shoot a three or shoot a bunch of jump shots, but he's just seemingly always around the basket. He's the kind of guy that'll take a charge, get a block shot or two. He'll hit a couple layups, and he just kind of does all the garbage work. And you know, Tonio McDuffie is kind of the leading scorer. Him and Radarius Norman, those guys that are going to score most of the points. Bryson French, but Amari Spencer, I think, is a big key for the season because he can cover the other guys' best offensive player. And then also, he just seemingly open. I mean, I do the game and I look up and he's just wide open underneath the basket. So he cuts well without the ball. And he'll end up with, at the end of the game, he'll have 6 points, 5 rebounds, a block, and 2 steals. And, you know, he's that kind of player.
Yeah. Just the kind of player you need to supplement the other players that you mentioned. So, and you got to have those guys.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And you know, also a big key about Amari, and you guys understand this, is he understands his role. And he doesn't, you know, he's not going to take any bad shots. And he understands that the offense goes through Antonio. And sometimes that's hard for kids to understand that, you know, if you're open, that doesn't necessarily you mean to need to shoot.
Yeah, for sure. That's for sure.
There may be a reason you're open.
That's right.
Yeah, maybe a reason you're open. Huh?
I was open a lot in high school, but I was encouraged not to shoot.
Yeah. I understand that. Yeah.
Well, they don't guard people on the bench.
That's exactly right.
I think that what you just said may be the most important aspect for teams in high school basketball is players understanding their role. If they understand their role and they do that to the best of their abilities, the team's going to perform at its best level.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, sir. Yeah, because, even you watch the college game and the pro game, you don't have 5 shooters out there.
No.
I mean, and if you do, like you say, they don't win very much. And so, you know, those kind of guys are important, and they're huge, and the coaches recognize that, certainly.
Yeah, they do, and we appreciate you, everything you do for us, Jim, and any other thoughts before we let you go today?
Just looking forward to this week, and I was talking to Coach McElroy this morning, the boys' assistant coach, and we're hoping that Bismarck can get here tomorrow. You know, they still have some snow on the ground, but I think today's supposed to be a lot warmer, so surely they'll be able to get here by tomorrow. But there is some small question about the game being tomorrow, but I think surely we'll get to play tomorrow, hopefully.
Well, I can't imagine them not having it cleared off so they could get from Arkadelphia to Hot Springs for racing this weekend. So I'm sure Bismarck, they'll be able to get down there. I think you're right. It is going to warm up enough today that I think on most of the roads it's going to be clear.
Yeah, I didn't think about those priorities. That's a good idea.
You got to know where you're at. That's why Highway 71's got so many potholes in it. You just got to know your role, right?
That's right, know your role.
Yeah.
That's right, boy.
We could talk about that all day long, but that's not what we're talking about today. We're talking about sports, and hopefully we'll be talking about a couple of Panther victories next week, Jim.
Hey, that sounds great, fellas. Looking forward to it.
All right. Appreciate you and everything you do for the Panthers, also for us. Have a good week.
Have a good week, Jim.
Thanks, guys. You too. Bye-bye.
And now we're going to talk about the Dierks Outlaws, and we're going to bring in Jeff Tuttle because nobody knows more about the Outlaws than King Tut. Jeff, only one game last week, played Spring Hill. Was that at Spring Hill or was at Spring Hill,
at
right?
Spring Hill. Tough place to play.
So let's hear what you have to say.
Well, the Outlaws dropped their game 49-46 in a really good game to watch. I mean, if you're a fan, it was a fun basketball game. You know, you hate to come out on the losing end, especially a late three-pointer Spring Hill hit with, I think, 2 seconds left when we inbounded to try to tie it up. But, you know, the Outlaws are in need of a win. Just give them a little confidence. I mean, they're playing some good ball and losing some close games. And it was a really good one. You know, Spring Hill, like I say, they hit a three-pointer. Ball game was tied. They hit a three-pointer, 2 seconds on the clock. Outlaw set up a nice inbound play, inbounded at the half court, made a pass to Dylan Moore, who they wanted to get the shot. He took a three-pointer for the tie with, you know, as the buzzer sounded while it's in the air. But from about 28, 29 feet, and where I was sitting, I thought it was in all the way, and it went off the back of the iron. So a heartbreaker for the Outlaws. Dylan Moore, he led the way for the Outlaws with 21 points and 10 rebounds. He had a nice game. But, you know, they had a lot more contributing. Briar James and Ben Ernest played, rotated in and out for a player that we had unavailable for the ball game, and they both done their job and done a good job. Ben Ernest on the defensive side, he hustles and gets after it, goes for loose balls. And Briar James had 6 points and 7 rebounds, you know, and stuff like that gets you a lot more playing time. Rebounds are crucial. You know, Peyton Beckman, he had 10 points, and that's really all the numbers I have for him. But as a post player, he's one of the best passing post players I've seen. He had, I'm going to say, 6 or 7 assists. There's even times when he gets the ball down low, and I don't do it because I'm on the radio, but I'm wanting to holler, shoot it, and he passes to somebody wide open. You know,
why not? I do that.
So, yeah. Really unselfish. You know, yeah. I'd be willing to say he had 6 or 7 assists to go with his 10 points. So,
well, you know that program you use, it'll calculate assists for you too.
Well, it does when I use it.
Okay. I understand. You got to do what you got to do. But hey, you know, when I saw that score, I just thought, man, what an opportunity! And just I like what you said. I mean, you know, you can't ask for a better opportunity than that. If they hit a three with 2 seconds, you get a 28-footer to tie the ball game. You can't really ask for more than that.
And the 3-pointer that they hit to take the lead by 3. Shot clock was probably at 2. The kid threw it up from the corner from his hip. Not even a – I mean, I hate to say it wasn't a real shot, but
– Yeah, I mean, look, he just jacked it up.
He lucked it in. I mean,
yeah,
that's all they needed, though.
Yep. Yeah, that's it. But, hey, looking at the other outside, Lady Outlaws, now 16-2. They beat Spring Hill by 31. So I'm sure they're just continuing on what they've been doing. I mean, just a dominating performance there.
Good game by the Lady Outlaws once again. They were led by Miley Harrison. She had 26 points and 6 steals. Addison Hill had 12 points, 8 rebounds, and 2 blocks. Riley Simmons, 10 points, 3 rebounds, 5 steals, and 1 block. Raylee Walston, 10 points and 5 steals. Gracie Thigpen, 8 points. Aspen Pugh, 6 points. Hannah Kirby, 5 points. One thing I did write down over here on my notes, the Lady Outlaws were 30 of 55 shooting, 12 of 26 from three-pointers. You know, if you shoot close to 50% from three-point land,
you're going to be hard to handle.
They also had 20 steals in the ball game. I mean,
yeah.
Winning the turnover battle leads to wide margin of victory most of the time. So, you know, it was a good game by the Lady Outlaws.
Got the Rattlers this week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Y'all having a picnic or something before? A little family get together?
Probably
little...
get together. That one will be at home this week. So I don't know if they'll all come over and picnic with us or not. But.
I'm sure they will.
Rattlers, the boys have a new coach this year. So the
pricing kumbaya.
I don't even know how to word it. The animosity or, you know, of the Outlaws former coach coaching there last year kind of led to a little more, I hate to say hatred, a little more heated rivalry than normal. But it should be a good game. I mean, like I say, the Outlaws just in need of a win. And, you know, your home floor, good place to get it. Crowd shows up and gets behind them. Good crowd at Spring Hill the other night.
Well, and then you go to Mountain Pine Friday, and if you can put together a win versus the Rattlers on Tuesday, you know, you've got a good shot at a road win Friday at Mountain Pine.
Yes, they have. They defeated Mountain Pine earlier in the year, girls and boys both. The boys was a close game. I'm wanting to say maybe a 6-point win or something like that. I wasn't able to make that one because state football playoffs were still going on, and I might have went to one of those. But, hey, basketball season's here now. I'll make the rest of them.
That's right. Basketball starts after Christmas. You told us that a long time ago.
That's right.
That's what you said. Yeah.
It's not always the popular.
No. No, but I understand it because now it's when it gets serious. Now you're in conference
play.
That's right. That's exactly right. So who you got for the Todd Moore Shelter Insurance Outlaw Player of the Week this week, Jeff?
We're going to go with Dylan Moore.
Dylan Moore.
Senior outlaw, 21 points, 10 rebounds. And like I say, there's probably a few assists in there. His numbers are probably a little better than what I'm giving you, but I have the points and rebounds, so. 21 and 10.
Great performance by him, and congratulations on being the Todd Moore Shelter Insurance Outlaw Player of the Week. Anything else before we move on, Jeff? You usually have something.
I don't think so. I'd like for everybody to come out and support the Outlaws this week. You know, like I say, home game Tuesday night against Murfreesboro, then they're on the road to Mountain Pine. Go to Hot Springs, get you something good to eat, and ease on up the road a little ways and watch some more basketball.
There you go. Okay, well, let's move on then. We'll talk about the Horatio Lions and Lady Lions next. They played one game last week. Lions 1-11. They lost at Caddo 62-37. The Lady Lions, now 9-4, beat Caddo 37-27. Only game they had this last week due to the weather, obviously. This week they got Foreman Tuesday, and then they're at Cutter Morning Star. So, looking at their week this week, Foreman for the boys should be a competitive ball game.
It should be, yes.
Yeah, and so they're playing that at home. Should be a good ball game. Then Friday they go to Cutter. Cutter girls, probably the best team in the conference, at least right now. Jeff, you're not going to say that?
Sorry, I was texting.
Yeah, I know.
Cutter's pretty good.
Cutter's
going to be – they'll be one of the higher seeds at the end of the year.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they're one of the best teams in the conference. So, Lady, what about the boys team from Cutter?
They're pretty good. I mean, they got some good shooters and really athletic. I mean, they play pretty fundamental basketball.
So, at Cutter, going to be for the Lions and Lady Lions, going to be two tough games there on Friday night. So,
yeah, the Cutter girls, that's one of the Outlaws, Lady mm-hmm. Outlaws, two losses.
Mm-hmm.
They're pretty solid. I think they're ranked.
Oh, they are
second mm-hmm. in the state mm-hmm. in one of those polls, like yeah. we talked about.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what they are in every other one, but
yeah, that's right. I mean, but anyway, going to be Lions and Lady Lions both. Foreman at home, and then Cutter Morning Star at Cutter Morning Star Friday. Could be a tough week, or not one tough. Could be a good week. Tuesday at home, then Friday away. Horatio State Bank line player of the week this week is going to be Daniel Gideon. In the boys' loss, he had 22 points and 10 rebounds, so a double-double. Great performance by him. Seems like you said, seems like we say the same names all the time here, and we hear here's a lot, but doing a good job for the Horatio Lions, and we appreciate Horatio State Bank for sponsoring the Lion Player of the Week, and that's Daniel Gideon.
There's a reason we say the same names over and over. They're ball players.
Yeah, they are. You're right. And moving on, we're going to talk about the Foreman Gators now, and we already talked a little bit about them already as we talked about the Lions. They beat the Gators boys 3-9, beat Mountain Pine 73-48.
Got on top of them, man.
Yeah, they did.
Just wailed away like Ralphie on Scott Fargus. Holy cow.
And like I say, that Mountain Pine boys team, they gave the Outlaws all they wanted a few weeks back. So the Gators, like you say, they pounced.
Yeah.
I don't know that Gators pounce. I don't know what to use there.
Chomp.
They chomp.
Yeah, they chomp. That's what the paper said about the Razorbacks. They got chomped. So we'll use that for – we'll be like the Democrat Gazette, and we'll say chomp.
That's our first conference win in 2 years ago.
Yeah, that's
a big deal.
That's a big win and a big victory, scoring wise. And I think that what's happening with them, they got a lot of young players. They got some good players. They're coming around now. As you talked about, it's now basketball season, and conference is going on, and I think they're going to get better and better as the year goes on. Looking forward to seeing what the Gators do down the stretch.
That's the game that the Outlaws didn't get in because of the road conditions. Friday night was against the Gators, and with them coming off of that big win, it may be a good thing you got that break because
yeah,
they're playing with confidence with that win.
Well, yeah. I wonder how they got that game in.
Well, it must have been Tuesday.
I guess it was. I guess they only played the one game Tuesday.
Yeah, they played Tuesday. Yeah. So Lady Gators, they're 1-11. They lost to Mountain Pine. And so this week, the Gators go to Horatio, as we talked about when we were talking about Horatio. And then Friday, they're at Caddo. So they got two games on the road this week. I'm going to tell you, if it hadn't been Nashville playing DeQueen, that Horatio Foreman game could have been the DeQueen Motorsports game of the week,
yeah.
I think that's going to be something that's going to be fun to watch. And if you don't have anywhere else to go, Horatio and Foreman at Horatio Tuesday night is going to be a great place to be. The Horatio State Bank Gator Player of the Week this week. We're going to give that to the entire Gator boys team for getting their first conference victory in 2 years. I mean, that's just really cool. And proud of them for that, and appreciate Horatio State Bank for sponsoring the Gator Player of the Week. Congratulations to the Foreman Gators in their first conference victory in 2 years. So we're going to move on now. We're going to talk about the Costot River Eagles. Eagles now 10-9. They beat Paris 63-51 and lost to Subiaco 54-24. And somehow they got in two games last week.
That's what I was thinking. I wondered how in the world that they got in two games.
Well, they may have played Monday and Tuesday. Who knows? Lady Eagles only played one game and they lost to Paris 47-29. I'm going to guess that Subiaco game came in the week before, maybe. Somehow, maybe a tournament or something. Don't know that. We'd have to look it up and see. But
God forbid we do that.
Nah. Well, if you want to, get on Facebook and look it up because that's where all the facts are. So you can get there and find all that out. But anyway, 1-1, the Eagles now 10-9. Lady Eagles now 1-19. Big deal this week. Dylan Loving gets to 1,000 points. And congratulations to him because that's a tremendous accomplishment in high school to get to 1,000 points. Now we can kind of figure out how they get all those games in. They've got three this week. Tuesday, they're at Lamar. Thursday, they're at Mount Ida. And Friday, they have Magazine coming in. So they got, three games this coming week. All those games going to be good games, I believe. Looking at the Union Bank of MENA Eagle Player of the Week, Tony.
Looks like we're going to go with Mr. Loving again. You can't overlook 1,000 points. He was our player of the area last week, and is having a really good year.
Yeah, he is, and congratulations to him for being the Union Bank of MENA Eagle Player of the Week, Dylan Loving.
Congratulations on 1,000 points.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
Hey, from all my junior high basketball,
they played Subiaco on Friday, January 10th, according to Scorebook Live.
All of my junior high basketball, senior high basketball, and pickup games that I've played since I got out of school, 1,000 points never crossed my mind. I've got like 50 on all of those.
Just got a ball in the trophy case, the white ball they give you, and it says like 27 points on it.
Yeah.
For a career.
Well, you know, when I played, if you shot outside of 10 feet and missed it, they pulled you out. So there wasn't as much shooting going on. You know, now anything inside a half court is a justifiable shot.
I was going to say it's exciting to watch some of these shots they take now, but if you took them out when they missed a shot, we wouldn't be able to have a ball game.
That's true.
Yeah, you watch the movie Hoosiers, young people, and you'll see how basketball used to be played.
Yeah.
Four passes before anybody shot.
Yep. And usually that meant on my team somebody turned it over. So there was no shot. We're going to try to get four passes before every shot. And we tried many times and didn't make it.
Me and Coach Ernest even said the other night during the Spring Hill Lady Bears and the Lady Outlaws game, they might as well just turn the shot clock off because I don't know if it ever got under 25 seconds before somebody took one. I mean,
It doesn't.
The shot clock has changed the game. And if you don't believe that, you know, we played five games in Oklahoma this year, and they play totally different, don't they, Greg?
They do. And we did too one day just to see if we could do it. We held the ball for 4 minutes before they decided to start fouling us. And they couldn't take it away from us.
But, that's right.
Interesting how different the game is without the shot clock, though. It's amazing how quickly it changes things. And we saw that, a couple of years ago up in Lake Hamilton. We were playing Kirby, actually. We were playing with a shot clock in that tournament, even though it wasn't enforced yet, and it changed the whole way that end of that game. We would not have won that game if it hadn't been for that shot clock.
Yeah, it took Kirby totally out of their game.
Yeah, it did. It did. And so, you know, big change in it. But, man, I'm telling you, shooting, you know, you used to when you got a shot, it was a big deal. Not anymore. I mean, just, you know, and what's amazing to me is the strength of those players. I mean, what they're shooting, you know, what we used to term it, jack the ball up, you know, which is basically, like you said, take it from the hip and just, you know, throw it up there. And that's from 30 feet. Now those are jump shots.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And now players like I was when I was in school, if you want to get a shot, you better get an offensive rebound.
That's right.
Because that might be the only way you get to take one.
That's right. And I'm talking about girls shooting from 30 feet, not just boys. You know, you think it would be something to the girls, but it's not. It's boys, too. Anyway, we've got a little bit of cleaning up to do to finish off the high school reporting for the week. And the first thing we've got to do is name our boys and girls players of the week for the area. The Toad Thumper Lures girls player of the week is going to be
Jesse Lyle, 25 points in the win versus Waldron.
All right. Congratulations,
22 Jesse. At halftime.
Yeah. Congratulations, Jesse, and thank you to Cody and Toad Thumper Lures for sponsoring the girls player of the area. Boys player of the area is going to be?
The Foreman boys for getting their first conference win in 2 years, and they seem to be on a little bit of a roll.
Yeah, looking good. The boys are playing well. First conference win in 2 years, actually on a two-game winning streak, counting the tournament win they had.
Yeah.
And so looking forward to see what they do this week. And the last award we have for the week is the Attarose Designs Player of the Area, and that's going to go to
Miley Harrison, 26 points and 6 steals for the Lady Outlaws.
All right. Congratulations to Miley Harrison. If Jeff and I can remember, we'll get you a T-shirt real soon. It's harder than you think it is for us, apparently. We walk out of here together and we never do it, right?
It's like we make them or something. I know, and forget.
I know. But anyway, congratulations, Miley. We appreciate Attarose Designs. If you don't know this, they design and make the T-shirts for us, for the player of the area, and we appreciate them for doing that. And for all our sponsors, we appreciate all of them. Now, anything else high school y'all want to talk about real quick?
No.
Get out and support those kids this week.
There you go.
UA Casita, www.cccua.edu. What a great website that you can do pretty much everything from. And if you're interested in the athletics department, uacasitacolts.com. We had a representative from UA Casita on the radio last week. Talking about some of the fundraisers that they have going on for the Colts coming up here soon.
Yeah, they had it. Well, it actually was last Friday.
That's right.
Yeah, it was the fish fry that the for the basketball team, and they delivered fish and did a good job with that. The basketball team just about getting ready to start. Mm-hmm. They're going to have their inter-squad game shortly over at the UA Costop Bank of Locksburg gym.
That's right.
In Locksburg. And then, you know, the soccer program's going full bore mm-hmm. right now over here at the Costop Colts Field with Coach Justin Hinman.
Yeah.
And, you know, then you've got the shooting sports team, and they're really doing well in that, in men's and women's clay target shooting. So all their sports teams doing well. But, mm-hmm. you know, that's not the big thing about UA Costa.
Right.
I mean, it's the fun thing.
Added bonus.
Yeah, it's just an added bonus. But what they have is, you know, if you're interested in anything,
yeah.
or if you're interested in nothing,
yeah.
you can become interested by going to Costot and looking on their website. You can apply there. You can check their scholarships out there. You can see what programs of study interest you. You know, they have associates in teaching, arts, general studies, criminal justice, education, psychology, STEM, ag business, ag education, ag science, applied science, business, natural resources, auto and diesel service technology, cosmetology, criminal justice, and that's just a start.
Absolutely.
That's not everything. And they've also got all kinds of workforce programs that they do. You know, we've talked about this before. They've got a lineman program that, mm-hmm. as of right now, is free.
Yeah.
You just apply.
2 weeks.
Yep. 2 weeks. You come down the pole the last time, and somebody hires you.
With a full certification ready mm-hmm. to go. Yeah, you mentioned the scholarships, the state scholarships and grants for study. You can go to uacostot.edu and see all of the links available on the website. Arkansas Academic Challenge, providing scholarships to Arkansas residents pursuing a higher education. Arkansas Future Grants, they aim to increase education and skills of Arkansas's workforce. And then other scholarships, like the Elio Dependence Scholarship, Military Dependent Scholarship, American Indian Scholarship, Single Parent Scholarships, which that's what I was going to say. They're doing the fundraiser for that.
That's this week.
Yeah, that's this week. And then so much more. Workforce Investment Act, a program that helps people in Southwest Arkansas get employed and or trained for preparation for employment, as you were just mentioning. That's just some of the state scholarships that they have on offer. The employer resources are amazing and immense. Working directly with businesses and industry clients, you will get placed in some of their programs, a 100% job placement efficiency rating. So very, very good, man. uacostot.edu. They're our newest sponsor, but there's plenty of things that you can say about them between the Colts, all the scholarships, their amazing website, their programs of study, and their workplace or their workforce placement is amazing.
You know, and one of the things I just talk about just for a second as you know, I've been around to their different campuses, beautiful mm-hmm. campuses also.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, of course, the Queen campus has been there since the 70s.
Right.
And both Nashville's got a beautiful campus. Ashdown also has a beautiful campus. So you've got I forgot one. Locksburg.
Yes, Locksburg.
They have a beautiful campus.
They do.
And you know, and just doing great things at every location. And so if you have any kind of educational needs, please check with them first. Mm-hmm. You're going to get the best education at the best price.
www.cccua.edu.
We're going to move on a little bit. On our prep sheet here, it's got Arkansas basketball, and I'm going to skip over that and move on. I mean, I don't see anything to talk about. Do you, Jeff?
Well, you go out and you get Calipari. You invest all this money in your basketball program, and you're getting beat by teams that have invested less. And Kentucky seems to be thriving. So I just don't know if it's going very good for Arkansas the way they planned right now.
Well, I think it's the same thing as, you know, as an Arkansas fan, a lifetime Arkansas fan, we always, you know, are ready to go. We before the season, we're always going to win the national championship,
absolutely,
right? In every sport. And you know, and then the reality hits, and it's just really hard. You know, the thing about it is,
you're right about indoor track and some things like that.
Yeah. Yeah. But cross country, you know, track. I mean, we can do pretty, and that's okay. We'll take those too.
Yeah.
I mean, those are big deals.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say they're not, but you know, I think when you spend as much money as Johnny Tyson spent, and I don't want to say I spent because I didn't, but you know, as much money as he spent, I think he's probably disappointed, and I know I'm disappointed. I think the money that we spent on some of the players You know, and one of the things that you got to look at, and you know, part of being a head coach is PR work. And I think when you look at who we had to get, I'm not sure he got everybody he wanted because, you know, when did that start? May, April? I mean, it was later on, and he had the only person he's got is Brazil. So he bought every other player.
Yeah.
But, you know, some of them had already been bought and paid for.
And Brazil wasn't coming back for a while. You know, it was late before he decided he was coming back.
Yep.
I think we have some of the players in place that we want. Watching the ball games, which I don't know that I've finished one yet. Shot selection is suspect sometimes. I mean, we don't always take the best shots.
Well, a couple of observations from a guy who's outside looking in, we'll say.
Wearing a Razorback.
I'm my third favorite team. One is I saw some criticism of Calipari, what he's wearing on the bench. Now, the reason you're getting criticism of what you're wearing on the bench is the product you're putting on the floor.
Yeah.
He could be wearing his pajamas if they were winning.
Yeah, if they were undefeated, it wouldn't matter. He could be wearing
his birthday suit, and nobody would care.
That's right.
I don't know about birthday suit.
Well, and then the other observation is, are we better off under Calipari than we were under Musselman?
I still think Calipari was a good hire. I mean, you get a big name, he's going to be a recruiter, but – you know, he's not the only coach on the bench. We got to coach those kids up.
Now you sound like Steeler fans about Tomlin.
Well you know, one of the things I think is Calipari realizes this. I've talked to you about it, Tony. I think one of our kids are playing, looking for fouls that they're not going to get in the SEC. They're not going to call them. They're just not going to call them, you know. And as I watch that game, and I feel this way all the time about SEC, they don't call the fouls that they need to call. I mean, that 1 7-foot guy that Florida has hooks every time he dribbles, every time, does he?
Yes,
every time. Yeah. And they never called it on him, not one time. Well, if you put your arm around somebody like this, obviously you're getting an advantage. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. I think they have underperformed based on what they're getting paid, especially John L. Davis. I think he ought to give some of his money back.
He probably will.
Yeah, I bet he will. I bet he will. But, you know, the thing about it is, why do you pay a guy from Florida Atlantic $1.8 million? You know, I don't understand that. I mean, that's not, you know, that's just not where you go. And I think that goes back to what I was saying. I think he had to take some players that he didn't think, you know, he probably wouldn't have taken if he had more time.
Yeah, he had to fill the roster.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, he had to get some players in there. So, anyway, too much talk about them. you know, they've got this week not going to be easy. You know, they've got two tough games this week, and they're both on the road at LSU and at Missouri. So,
and 0-3 in the conference right now, right?
Yeah, they're 0-3.
You definitely need a win.
Yep. So we'll see what happens. But anyway, let's move on to something that I, at least I'm a little happier about. I don't know about Tuttle. college football bowl game standings. One game left to go, King Tut, and you're going to be dethroned.
Yeah, I was going to say, I just want to start this out by saying the defending champion, Jeff Tuttle, is out of the mix.
Yeah, that's for sure. Tony's two games up, so he's the winner no matter what happens. Tyler and I are tied, and we already know who's picking who on that. And Jeff, you're behind far enough. We'll let you pick. Don't care who you pick. Notre Dame and Ohio State.
Derek's Outlaw song there. I think we had it first.
So who are you going with?
Ohio State.
All right.
I did say after their first win in the playoffs that I didn't think anybody could beat them. That was a couple of really good games over the weekend, though.
They really were.
I
mean,
I will say, as the guy that kept the cap of the standings, on games that you and Greg picked together, you did not do well.
Greg, that means never follow my lead.
Well, I got Tyler's already picked Notre Dame, so I have to pick Ohio State. I mean, I'm not going to go with him in state tied.
So me and you have jinxed Ohio State.
Yeah, but that's okay. If that's what it takes.
It's evil genius.
Yeah, the only thing about it is there couldn't be anybody worse to beat them than Notre Dame.
Well, I'm not
except Texas.
I'm not a big fan of either of these teams. So I hope Notre Dame wins it. I really do. But I'm picking Ohio State. And part of my hatred for Ohio State goes back to them beating Arkansas in the Sugar Bowl in, was that 2012?
Yeah, or 11 or 12, yeah.
And, you know, I feel like they played with some players that shouldn't have been eligible to play that game.
That's right.
So I hold that against them.
Yeah, that's right.
Tony, it's your pick, and I feel like you've played the music for us.
I'm going with Notre Dame. I am not an Ohio, being from that part of the world, all you hear is Buckeyes this, Buckeyes that. And I'm not saying that Notre Dame is never where they shouldn't be in a poll. They're always overrated. But they're not overrated to the point Ohio State is overrated. So this is a game where I can't win and can't lose. I do not like either of these schools. But I just think Notre Dame's kind of a team of destiny right now.
You know, week one or two, whenever it was, Northern Illinois beat Notre Dame. I made a post on Facebook about Freeman being in the hot seat. I think he's erased that.
I made the same post when Marshall beat him a couple years ago.
I think he can probably do anything he wants now.
He's got a free pass.
I think there's some rumors that some NFL teams are maybe might come after him. So Stark at Texas too. So
yeah, I've heard that. And I don't know why any successful college football coach. Well, I do. I guess it's an ego thing. You want to prove you can win and make the money in the NFL. I'd never leave a solid college gig for an NFL coaching job. That's sitting back and looking at it. I mean, how many of them have tried it?
Well, you look at, we talked about Saban this morning on the radio show and about how mad he got over, what's the name, Gillis, giving him a hard time. But, the thing about him is he was horrible. You know, Bobby Petrino tried. He was horrible. I mean, and that's just a couple that we can think of.
Yeah, Saban, probably the greatest college football coach that we've seen in the last 20 years.
Yeah.
And you don't have the control that you want in the NFL.
No.
I mean.
Nope.
Ask Jimmy Johnson.
Yep. That's true, too. That's true, too. But anyway, so that takes care of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tuttle's buying dinner. We just got to figure out when we can get him to go there.
Dollar menu at McDonald's, boys.
I think we got to wait till the first of the month when he gets a check.
Y'all probably won't go to the Roadhouse or somewhere.
I was thinking about, somewhere like that. That'd be great. Anyway, so move on to the NFL Super Bowl draft. Any surprises for you guys out of all the wild card? I had one.
I probably had the same one. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, it just surprised me that not that the Texans beat the Chargers, but they beat them like they did.
They manhandled them.
Yeah, they just beat them like a dog. I mean, it made them like it. You know, I was really surprised about that. Tony, were you?
I thought the Steelers would play better. I didn't know that they would win, but I really thought they'd play better.
Back to the Chargers game.
Yeah.
Herbert, or A-Bear, as I like to call him, as an old New Orleans Saints guy.
Yeah.
Did I hear right? I mean, he threw four interceptions in the game, and he had thrown three all season?
That's correct.
I mean, I know all about them interceptions, being a Packers fan.
Yeah.
Mr. Love didn't have the best game.
No, he sure didn't. But I think, I think that, when you look at we got tonight, Rams and Vikings.
So Tyler, he has three teams left right now, but he's going to lose one of those teams tonight. And we'll all have two teams left in this Super Bowl draft. Tyler right now has the Vikings, Texans, and Rams. He'll lose one tonight. I have the Chiefs and the Bills. Greg has the Lions and the Ravens. And Jeff has the Eagles and the Commanders.
So what teams, talking about surprises, and what teams impressed you over the weekend?
The Ravens.
Ravens. I thought the Eagles looked really good. I mean,
I think the Ravens would have beat anybody that played this weekend.
Yeah. The Ravens definitely stepped up their game, in my opinion.
Three words about the Ravens.
Read option thing they got going. I mean, T.J. Watt is tackling Derrick Henry every time, whether he has the football or not.
I was going to say three words about the Ravens. Derrick freaking Henry.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. He's great. But I think if they continue on the path they go on, they're going to be hard to beat. They're not unbeatable, because I think that both the Kansas City and the Bills are good football teams. I also think that Detroit's a good football team. It seems like the AFC is much more loaded than the NFC. Do you feel that way?
Oh, I do.
I mean, Philadelphia, if they get on the right roll, but he's got to be running the ball. He didn't run the ball. Hurt didn't run the ball a whole lot last night. I think
during the season it felt like the NFC was more loaded because the North was playing, all those teams were playing so well. But the Vikings kind of came apart a little bit at the end. The Packers came apart a little bit at the end. Now you got the Lions as the number one seed, but Kansas City and Detroit, both number one seeds, and I'm not sure either one of them's the best team in their conference.
Hey, I was going to say, does that week off, does it help you getting people healthy?
Well, after watching the Eagles and the Packers yesterday, I'd have to say yes. Or does it hurt? They didn't get anybody hurt.
Does it hurt you rust-wise, you know?
I'd rather have the week off.
Talking about him not running the ball a lot, I wonder how much of that had to do with, you know, he just cleared concussion protocol. Mm-hmm. Hey, if you get him hurt in that game, even if you win and get him hurt, you're done.
Yeah.
I mean.
You don't think Kenny Pickett can take the Eagles to the promised land?
Did he take the
They can get Carson Wentz back. I think that when you look at the Eagles, he's got to run the football in order for them to be successful. If it hadn't been for Green Bay having so many turnovers, they would have had to do something different to win the ball game, in my opinion.
Well, the Eagles and the Ravens offense, I think, could be really similar, you know, with that run-pass option,
mm-hmm.
a running quarterback, a really good running back, and, man, that tight end.
That could be a really entertaining Super Bowl.
The tight end comes into play a lot more than people realize. I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, especially in that offense.
Yeah.
Yeah, anything else y'all got on the playoffs there right now?
Well, I'm as a Steeler fan, I don't know. I really don't. I've always backed Tomlin, and there's something to be said with not having to endure a losing season in 18 years and going to the playoffs the majority of those 18 years. You know, probably a couple of 9-8s there you didn't. But, man, I just don't know if it ain't time to blow it up. You know,
hire Rich Ryan or?
He's already got a job. He's going to be the Jazz coach. No.
I just don't know. I don't, the Steelers are just good enough to have a winning season to get in the playoffs, but always drafting in the 20s. They can't get the quarterback that they really need to go to the next level. They got an aging defense. Hayward's going to be 37 when next season starts. J.J. Watt's not getting any younger. T.J. Yeah. I wish we had J.J., but
you can get him if you pay him enough money.
But I think their window is closing. I think they've made a decision. They're not going to sign Najee Harris. And you can say what you want to about Najee Harris. There's only been one back in the NFL the last 4 years that's got 1,000 yards. And guess who it is? Najee Harris.
Yeah.
He hasn't missed a game in 4 years.
Yeah.
There's a lot to be said for that.
Well, yeah, there is. And I think there's – there's time to reboot, and that's what I would call it. You know, you just got to reboot. I mean, you get to a certain age, you can't keep all those players. Now, I saw this. I don't know if it's true or not. I saw T.J. Watt, the last 193 snaps, had no stats.
Yeah.
I saw that. But, you know, another thing about that, and we probably look at this different. I mean, doing ball games like we do. You know, and I realize you want this guy who should have been the MVP of the league last year. and didn't get it. You want him recording stats, but he makes plays that don't show up on the stat chart too. I mean, yeah.
Well, I understand, and I do. And I appreciate T.J. Watt, but I'm sitting there thinking, what could we get for T.J. Watt if you put him out there? You know, could you get a first and something else? Could you get two firsts? What could you get for him?
Yeah,
and then you know, there's talk of trading Tomlin. What could you get for Mike Tomlin, having 3 years left on a deal?
Dak Prescott?
yeah, I would imagine the Steelers would want draft picks, which, you know, and then hire their own coach, which seems to be the direction they go. When they hired Tomlin, he wasn't on anybody's radar. He's coached him 18 years. When they hired Cowher, same thing, wasn't on anybody's radar. They hire him. He's their coach for 15 years, mm-hmm. you know, so – I think the Steelers probably are not watching get up trying to figure out who their next coach is going to be.
Speaking of that, how about those Cowboys?
It's today. It's tomorrow. His contract runs out tomorrow.
14th,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. You know, the deal with me is, and I don't see what waiting is, how that's helping.
Well,
no matter which way you go. I mean, how is waiting, you know, what was it a week ago Sunday that the final game?
Yeah.
So they a week ago Sunday they had the final game, so they basically had 10 days, and they've just sat here and not – the only thing they did was not allow Chicago.
I was going to say, the only thing they've done was said, no, we're not going to let you interview him.
And so I think –
but tomorrow it won't matter. They can go interview with anybody he wants.
Yeah, that's right. And you know, I think – the New Orleans Saints want to interview him. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, they should have kicked him to the curb.
Well, I was going to say, I know you're not a McCarthy fan, but what is that saying to your coach that we're not really going to make a decision until we have to
Jerry
go
Jones
public with it?
Does not make decisions based on humanitarian things. He made this decision knowing that on all the talk shows, and I've not got to watch them this morning, I've been here with you guys, All the talk shows, this is all they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Even though the NFL playoffs was this week, they're talking about what are the Cowboys going to do with Mike McCarthy.
Yeah.
And that's why Jerry Jones likes it, no matter how hard it is on Mike McCarthy.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what it is. That's what happens when you're America's team. I couldn't resist. But, you know, the thing about it is, I'm going to tell you this. If he does what they say he's going to do, and he hires Sark, I'm done. I'm officially going to burn my Cowboys stuff. I'm telling you. You will not see me wearing Cowboys stuff anymore, and I don't care if they win the Super Bowl. I just can't see that being a good move.
Well, and my opinion on that, and this may not be the most politically correct thing to say,
gosh,
I don't really care. You know, they say that Jerry Jones and Jason Garrett were drinking buddies. Him and McCarthy are drinking buddies. Sark's a recovering alcoholic.
That's right.
You can't hire him as your drinking buddy.
Nope. Nope. And I don't know if that's true or not, but it probably has some validity to it. But you know, I think one of the things that as you look at that, and you look at the other coaching openings and who they're hiring, you know, Mike Vrabel.
That's a great hire for the Patriots.
He went to the Patriots. That's a great hire.
Dragging your feet like the Cowboys have may cost you a shot at him.
Or who else that you don't know about?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and I'm going to make the assumption that Rex Ryan may be the coach of the Jets. Which
he's made that assumption.
Yeah, I know he has. I know he has, but, you know, I don't think that's that bad a deal. I mean, based on...
That was the last time the Jets were any good.
Yeah.
I mean, if the Cowboys are waiting around, you know, I would have to think it's for a coordinator, like, you know, the Lions coordinator or the Vikings or something like that, and you'd have to wait on them to get beat out. I mean, say the Vikings lose tonight, then...
Yeah.
You got a few hours to make a move before...
Maybe the Cowboys are the team that pulls the trigger and trades for Mike Tomlin.
They could be. So you may be pulling for Dak next year.
No, that won't happen.
You won't pull for him if he's on the Steelers?
No, they won't trade for Dak Prescott.
They'll never
trade for a draft pick.
You never know.
If Dak's in a Steeler uniform, yes, I'll pull for him.
Then it'll be worth $55 million.
The Steelers won't trade for Dak when there's so many other backup quarterbacks out there available.
Oh, that's right. There's somebody. They're watching TV right now saying, you know, I think I see a guy over on the bench holding the clipboard. I think we can make something out of that guy.
Yeah. Well, what's his name that was there? He played last night at the end of the game. I can't think of his name. Trubisky.
Yeah, Mitch Trubisky.
He played a little bit, so they may get him back.
Mitch Trubisky sighting.
The Vikings draft pick that got hurt, McCarthy, that's McCarthy too, wasn't it? A.J. McCarthy?
Yeah.
Him or Sam Darnold's going to be available for somebody.
That's correct.
Because the Vikings ain't going to be able to pay them both.
Yeah.
They might be able to, but somebody's not going to be happy in that situation.
Well, you know, this is the second year in a row that the Vikings have made a quarterback a lifetime salary because Kirk Cousins left and got a lot, you know,
that's
the deal of a lifetime.
Where one of those guys is walking out of town, too.
Yeah, but I mean, he got $100 million.
I understand. Somebody's got to pay it.
Sam Darnold is also going to get a deal.
Yeah.
Hey, he's not getting paid somewhere. It may not be with the Vikings, but he's going to get a deal of a lifetime somewhere.
But,
and the likelihood of him having a season like he had based on his prior performance is less likely than Kirk Cousins having a good performance.
I stick with Justin Fields before I do that.
Yeah.
Do you go all in if you're the Vikings on McCarthy, who you haven't seen play an NFL down, or somebody that's led you to a
Here's the thing you got to think about too. McCarthy's still playing on his rookie deal. You have all kinds of cap space if you play McCarthy. If you have to sign Darnold for what he's going to get, you have no cap space to do anything else. And I think it's an easy decision.
And Aaron Rodgers is going to be available to go somewhere, I think.
Possibly. It may be home.
Well, I've heard he wants to play for the 49ers. You know, he's from that area.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think Aaron Rodgers has proved that he's probably done.
Well, he'll go on a retreat and he'll decide that.
I'm reading what I read. I didn't check these stats. His stats are as good as the Bills quarterback, can't think of his name right now.
Josh Allen.
His stats were as good as his this year. Now, and everybody's talking about Josh Allen being the MVP.
Right.
So you're saying that he's done, but he's got the stats, same stats as the MVP of the league.
I did see somebody comparing Josh Allen's stats to maybe Bo Nix or something.
Bo Nix had a great
game. That was the last 13 games.
But, yeah. You know, also in that comparison, they didn't put all of Josh Allen's rushing touchdowns in those stats. He has a lot of rushing touchdowns.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I say a lot. For a quarterback, 5 or 6 is a lot, but.
Yeah. Yeah, well, he does run the ball a lot, and he's got a lot of rushing yards.
But the thing that all these playoff teams that are left have in common is they've all got franchise quarterbacks. And that, you know, being a Steeler fan, I keep talking about the Steelers. That's the component they're missing. They've got a good defense. You can't put them on the field for 3/4 of the game against Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry. I mean, 28 points might not have been too bad under those circumstances.
No, you're right. I actually thought that game should have been more one-sided than it was.
Yeah.
They have franchise quarterbacks, and a few of them have game-changing running backs where you can control the clock and the ball. And I think that's one thing the Chiefs may be lacking this year is that running back.
But the way it works out, and you get rewarded for your regular season play, the Chiefs get the Texans. And the Bills and the Ravens are going to beat up on each other again and then have to go to Kansas City. And that's got to favor the Chiefs.
Sure it does. That's why they do it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you get a home game versus a away game, especially.
I guarantee you the Chiefs were sitting at home rooting for the Texans. They didn't want to play the Chargers for a third time.
No.
And let's be honest, Patrick Mahomes hadn't had the greatest season stat-wise. But you put him in the playoffs, and he's going to shine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the thing about him. I think that especially that team we talked about having a week off, the Kansas City Chiefs probably gained more from having that week off than any other team in the playoffs because they were dinged up. He was dinged up.
Yeah.
And that you give him another week to rest,
yeah,
it's going to make a whole lot of difference in his playoff run and his running ability and his making plays. You know, he's going to make a lot of plays that he hadn't been able to make. And you know, I think that's going to – we'll see what it does. And, you know, like I said, whenever we picked these teams, I got to pick first. I did not pick Kansas City for one reason, and that's because I think it's hard to win three times in a row. I don't know how many teams have done that. Not sure that – not very many, if any.
The Cowboys did it once, didn't they?
Nah, they won two. They won 3 in 4 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Steelers won 4 in 6 years.
Yeah.
But they were two in a row on either side.
Yeah, and so I'm not sure anybody's ever won 3 in a row.
The Bills lost 3 in a row.
They lost 4 in a row. 3 to the Cowboys. I just think that it will. You know, I think that. That's the only reason I picked Detroit instead of Kansas City because I still think you got. I mean, it's kind of like Jeff said; he's a defending champ.
Yeah.
Until somebody dethrones him,
but, and it happened.
Yeah, but same thing with them. I mean, you know, everything's going through there. I mean, they've got every advantage, and so it's hard to pick against them. Yeah, but you know, we can do it. You know, but. I did just out of theory that
three of you picked against them.
Well, you're right.
I picked four and got them.
Yeah, but I don't know how. I don't know why they made those picks. I know why I made mine. I don't understand picking Philadelphia over them.
I picked the Eagles first.
Yeah, I don't understand that.
You will in a few weeks.
Well, you know the thing is, and this is why the Chiefs are so good. You know. You got the Bengals fans moping around. The Chiefs threw the game so they wouldn't have to play the Bengals. You know, don't lose to the Patriots week 1 and you're in the playoffs.
That's right.
You know, Kansas City takes care of business. Now, they may only take care of business by 3 or 4 points against the Jaguars, but they take care of business. Those early season games that teams lose and they say, oh, we'll get them next week. Well, that just dinged you.
Yeah.
You know, week 1 is as important as week 17 as far as the standings go.
That's right. That's right, and that I think that's the one thing that you can say about Kansas City is they came across and won games that maybe some they shouldn't even won.
Yeah. Oh, there was a couple in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they won them, and so you got to give them that credit, guys. We could go on and on about this. We love talking about football, and
we love talking.
Yeah, that's right. But we probably need to cut it off for now, and we'll see what happens next week. Any last thoughts before we go?
Let me play the Notre Dame fight song again.
No. I don't want you to play the Notre Dame fight song.
What about the Derrick's Outlaw fight song?
Well, it's the same thing.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. But anyway, I'm going to go with the fact that y'all have nothing left. So, if you're
playing the Notre Dame fight song, you have nothing left.
If you're down to that.
Everything you could contribute has been contributed.
That's right. So we're going to cut it off here. We appreciate everybody that listens to us each and every week. We appreciate our sponsors so much because we couldn't do it without you. But most of all, we appreciate the kids. And just go out and watch a game this week. See you next week.
See you next week.
See you next week.